There's a new term for clocking in and doing the bare minimum at work. It's quiet quitting. TikTokers are going viral for explaining why they're jumping on the quiet quitting bandwagon. But career coaches caution against the practice. And despite the name, it actually has nothing to do with quitting your job. It means only doing what your contract demands and nothing more. So are the quiet quitters taking control of their work-life balance, or are they simply being lazy? Well, I'm joined to discuss all of this by Erica Bracken, freelance PR and marketing consultant, and Brenda Power, who's a columnist at the Sunday Times and the Irish Daily Mail, and you're both very welcome. So Erica, you recently restructured your work-life balance by going freelance. Just take us through briefly what you did.
Okay, great to be here with you again, Claire. Thanks.
That sounds like a line that has just dropped. We'll get Erica back on the line. Now, quiet quitting, Brenda, a new term for an old practice, really, would you say?
Yeah, I looked it up, Claire. Like a lot of people, I suppose, I thought quiet quitting meant leaving your job without making a fuss or looking for a going away party.
Yeah,
but actually, no, it doesn't. As you say, it means doing the bare minimum that you can possibly get away with and still abide by the terms of your contract. And I looked it up. Obviously, it's an import from the US, that wouldn't surprise you. And I found some guidelines for employers to tell how you've got a quiet quitter on your staff. First of all, are they disengaged on a chronic basis? Is their performance only to the minimum set of performance standards? Are they isolated from other members of the team? Do they withdraw from any non-necessary conversations, activities or tasks? Do they attend meetings but not speak? And do their teammates report that they have to take up the slack? Those are quiet quitters. Who knew we were all working with quiet quitters all these years? And that's what we used to call them in more judgmental times, were work shy or clock watchers or jobs warts. But apparently they were taking control of their work-life balance. And, you know, I can see a lot of sense in it. If you work in an industry or a profession or a career where really you are happy with the level at which you have achieved, you don't want to bust a gut to be employee of the month if it means not one extra penny in your pay packet. And you find that you are, just to keep up with what everybody else is doing in the office, answering emails at home, staying half an hour late routinely for no thanks, for no reward, for no benefit. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not do it?
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's the employer's fault that people have decided to go down this route.
It's the employer's fault, I would say, as much as maybe colleagues' fault. Because if you're working with somebody who does want to get on and they are putting in the extra hours, you may feel under an obligation without actually stopping to ask yourself, well, why am I doing this? I don't want to be the head of division. You know, I don't want to be promoted one rung up the management level where I'll get an extra 20 quid a week. I'd rather have that time at home. That makes perfect sense to me. The difficulty is, I suppose, you know, if this becomes a thing and everybody in your workplace says, well, I'm going to quiet quit, I can absolutely see the benefit of it. You know that there'll be the leaving cert SWAT who came in every Monday morning, said, I did nothing, I watched telly all weekend, and their nose wasn't out of the books. You know that there'll be the ones answering the calls at after hours, and they'll be the ones opening their emails at weekends, and they'll be the ones who get the promotion. If you're cool with that, I'd say that's fine. Mm-hmm.
This is not an option, though, if you want to be head of division.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I mean, it is maybe about maybe not sleepwalking through your career and instead taking control of and assessing what your career goals are, if that is what you want. And if you are prepared to trade off the quality of life that you enjoy at the level you're at for that achievement, then knock yourself out. But if you say, look, I do like being able to be home with my kids at 5 o'clock. I do like being able to shut down my computer, turn off my email, switch off my phone when I get home and not answer calls. And I appreciate that time with my family. And I'm not going, oh God, there's another call from work, I better answer this. Then that is the option for you.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it sounds like these are people who are quite unhappy in their work.
Not necessarily, I would say. I'd say the opposite. They're people who are quite content with the level they've achieved, and they don't want to be called in at weekends, and they don't want to go away on the bonding weekends or the after-work drinks. The thing that struck me about it, Claire, it's something women have, I think, complained about for years, is the fact that I do not feel that I am maybe properly positioned to be promoted or to be visible in the workplace, because I am always the one who has to leave at 5:30 to collect the kids from the creche, so I can't go for the after work drinks. I am the one who has to leave work if there's a crisis in the school, or if the childminder isn't in, so I can't volunteer for the extra tasks, and that is holding me back. So there is an awareness that if you are not able to contribute at that level in the workplace already, that you are hampering your career expectations. But maybe it's time we took a step back and said, well, is promotion and advancement in your career the be-all and end-all?
Yeah,
if it is for you, go for it. If it's not, maybe this is an option.
Well, look, these are the questions that people seem to be asking each other. We have Erica back on the line now. Do you think this quiet quitting, Erica, is a solution?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people feel under serious pressure, they feel overworked, mm-hmm. they feel that they're going
yes.
to meetings that are absolutely pointless. Every spare minute mm-hmm. they have in their working day is filled by an employer who hates to see you sitting there dawdling, as they might see it. And that this
yeah.
is what people have come up with to try and fix that problem.
Yeah, look, absolutely, it's not a solution. The greater solution is that employees treat everyone fairly and offer everyone equal remuneration and equal opportunities that reflects the work and the hours that they put in. However, it's obviously not a perfect world. So we are finding people that are just forced into this, they're trying to attempt to create a healthy life-work balance when they're consistently overworked with hours, with no sign of promotion, no sign of pay increase on the horizon. And I do think there is that difference between, working yourself to the bone day in, day out for an adequate pay beyond your working title and, working at peak times to get the job done, doing more than your job title to help out a colleague or, putting in the extra effort when there's, something kind of coming down the line. And people accept that there will be those times. But, I do think that no one wants to quiet quit. Work is such a big part of our lives. I do think that people, they want to enjoy their work and they want to feel motivated, creative and respected at work. But they're just kind of being forced into this as a last ditch attempt to protect themselves from that burnout. And it's, it's really sad.
I have a really interesting message here from somebody who says 40 years of working has taught me that doing extra gets you nowhere. The cynic in me has realised this. Underperformers got the same thanks. Any additional responsibilities were not sufficiently fiscally rewarded. Self-actualisation and empowerment were your reward. When I left my job, everyone more or less received the same exit redundancy package. So the theme really there, Brenda, is why would you bother?
Why would you bother? Although it depends, and I'd like to know, and they probably won't tell you, what sector or what job that person was in. Because, there are definitely areas in which extra commitment and dedication is rewarded. And there are those where it isn't and mm-hmm. where it doesn't make a whit of difference what you do or how much extra time you put in.
Underperformers got the same thanks.
Yeah, well, I think we all know areas of work in which that's the case. And there are other areas in which people who go out of their way to shine will stand out and will be rewarded. And I think everybody knows whether they are working in which of those areas they're working in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see, I'm kind of surprised it took that person 40 years to figure out that they were in a job where the underperformers were getting the exact same remuneration and the exact same promotional opportunities as they were, because I think you figure that out pretty quickly.
And Erica, this listener says the impact on teamwork of quiet quitters on morale in general is very, very considerable. Would you agree with that? That if you have somebody on your team who is deciding to quiet quit, do the bare minimum, that impacts the people around them too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, it is a culture and it starts to kind of get a bit toxic in the environment, and you'll find that there's a group of people will end up doing it and then a group of people will leave, and it's cyclical. And look, it's no one wants to keep moving jobs and no employer wants to keep hiring and rehiring. And, it's time consuming and it's expensive. But there is that trend that you just hire a bunch, they leave because they're overworked, and then another bunch is rehired. So no one wants that. It's not good for business. It's not good for people. I just think there are better, smarter, more progressive and productive ways to work so that people don't feel the need to quiet quit. I think that's what we should be addressing.
But then on the other hand, it could be the case that the quiet quitters are the ones who are actually going to put manners on an employer who is expecting people to go above and beyond the requirements of their jobs without any rewards. What more people do actually need to do in those professions, because clearly if you're saying that the quiet quitter is doing the bare minimum and other people are taking up the slack, that means they're taking up work, they're taking on work for which they're not being paid. And why should anybody tolerate that in their workplace?
Yes, this is a phenomenon amongst TikTokers, right? Mm. The hashtag is quiet quitting. Do you think it's good advice for somebody who is 22, first job, to go in there and just do the bare minimum now. Don't be taking work home with you. Don't be answering emails at night. Is it a good way to start, Brenda?
It wouldn't be what I'd advise the sort of novel employees in my own family. I would say, look, yes, absolutely go above and beyond the call of duty. Unless it is obvious that it's not going to get you anywhere, or unless it's a job you have no interest in staying in. But I mean, I think by and large, there's much to be said for trying to stand out, for being the one who does put in the extra hours. If you find that it is not paying off or that it is not getting you where you want to go, you'll figure that out pretty quickly, mm-hmm. I think. But by and large, I do think that there is, I know that Mark Zuckerberg, and mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago, Louise Phelan in Facebook as well, complaining about a sense of entitlement amongst younger employees coming. Mm-hmm.
PayPal, wasn't it?
PayPal, yeah. She said, Louise Phelan, she said that she saw people with their feet up on the desks as she'd walked through. She's the head honcho, and they showed no respect or no regard for the fact that she was clearly seeing them slacking, or what appeared to her to be slacking. So, and I know Mark Zuckerberg had to sort of reprimand his employees recently because they were looking for their COVID days off when the company was in financial difficulties. He was saying, what part of, you know, this process do you not get?
But sorry now, Mark Zuckerberg will give somebody a contract and say, this is your job. Mm. And if you do the job that's in your contract, why should you have to go above and beyond?
Well, no, I don't think they were being asked to go above and beyond. They were asking for extra days off that they used to get during COVID, and they couldn't see why they couldn't keep getting them. And he had to sort of spell out some harsh realities to them. But I mean, I do think that, you know, I think the advice of anybody to somebody starting a job is, you know, give it your absolute 100%. I mean, I think you'd be foolish to, and I think it'd be,
and then slack
irresponsible.
Off.
Yeah, well, as I say, you know, get a reputation for being an early riser and you stay in bed all day.
This listener says, since when has fulfilling the terms of your contract and signing off at 5 p.m. been quitting? What a derogatory term. I'd rather spend time with my family than take calls after hours that just result in more pointless chatter. And I think, Erica, that's your point, isn't it? That we're filling time with pointless exercises, meetings that go nowhere, just for the sake of, I don't know, seem to be doing something.
Yeah, look, I do think we should be rewarded and encouraged to do good creative work during the working day, fulfilling your responsibilities and then some. But once you start getting into this as being overwhelmed with too much work, you end up doing a kind of a bang average job because you're so stretched at all hours of the day. So I do think the quality of work is affected as well. Like, you're not going to suggest a new innovative way of working or how you could offer a better service to your client if you're already overwhelmed. You're going to keep your head down just so you can keep your, you know, keep your head above water, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's, you know, it's a productive way to work. And like, I mean, being freelance now and being in charge of my schedule and obviously my workload, like, I'm actually doing a better job for my clients. I'm getting better results. But at the same time, I'm able to work more flexibly. I'm such an early bird. So I start much earlier and finish earlier. And then I don't answer
do
emails
you
after that.
Do you really? Because I think when you work for yourself, the pressure is really on to keep going for as many hours as you can.
The temptation is definitely there to kind of look, if I just get that email off my plate, I'm definitely become so much better at saying, no, I'll answer that in the morning when I'm back online. And look, I'm freelance. I might have an event on a Sunday or something like that. So I'll work on a Sunday or Saturday if I need to. But maybe I'll have a little bit of a slower start then on a Monday morning, just to kind of reflect that. If I have been, up all day on a Sunday doing work. I think there is, you know, a different way to work.
Yeah, but you have to be very, very disciplined about it. Are you, Brenda? Because you're in the same situation,
yeah,
right? You work for yourself.
Yes, I do work for myself, and have done for pretty much all of my working life. I mean, I get what Erica is saying. It does give you an awful lot more flexibility. During the hot weather there, for instance, I would start work at 7 and maybe finish at 1 so that I could enjoy the afternoons. And, and that's something that you have the flexibility to do when you are freelance that you don't have otherwise. As for turning down work, though, or not taking work that comes in late on a Friday evening or whatever, I don't think that's an option. And I know hugely successful self-employed people who would still be reluctant, you know, to say no to work for fear, for this sort of, you know, sort of subconscious, subliminal, freelance, self-employed person's fear that might just be the last bit of work that ever comes in. And that is something that haunts you as a freelance for all of your life. And I think that, you know, in theory, it's fantastic. And you do have an awful lot more opportunity, I suppose, to take control of your working day than somebody who's 9 to 5 and maybe, you know, feels required to stay a little bit later. But there is also that sort of, I suppose, inclination to push yourself a little bit further to maybe answer emails on holidays, maybe check, you know, your post when you maybe should be off and otherwise would be off because of that insecurity that freelancing inevitably brings.
But you're not saying that's a good thing, because everyone needs a break, freelance or not.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's just not necessarily an option if you are freelance.
Office administrator texting us, nobody should work more than they have to. The job and wage agreed is the job delivered. I think younger workers, this is another one, are right to only do as they're paid. Employers have got away with overworking people for decades.
That's true. And I know that is true in a lot of firms. And you hear young people being brought in deliberately overworked and burnt out in a lot of firms, that is almost a business model. Then again, I suppose, look at it from the employer's point of view. How are you to know, how are you to identify the person you want to promote, the person you want to keep, if there isn't somebody amongst your new intake who does willingly take on the extra work without complaining and manage it and still keep the quality of their work high?
Erica, what do you say to that? A quiet quitter will never be promoted.
I don't know. Like, as I said, like, I do think there is a distinction between having a strong work ethic, being creative with your work, fulfilling your work ethic duties and going beyond responsibilities, but doing it within the hours. And I don't think we should be kind of promoting people to work all hours of the day. And I think there needs to be kind of a standard set from above that these are the hours, like, we actually would prefer you to do your work within these hours. And if you're struggling to do so in the meantime, maybe that is maybe a sign of that you're not, you know, fully up for the job or shouldn't be promoted, etc. But I don't think the bonuses should come for the people who are just online all day long, responsive to emails all day long. Like, I think the kind of the bar and the standard for what gets you a promotion should be different.
Mm-hmm. I think it would work excellently if you could persuade everybody in your office to be a quiet quitter, but that is never ever going to happen.
Yeah, there's always the one doing the secret leaving cert study, as you say.
Exactly.
Brenda Power, thanks very much for coming in, and Erica Bracken, who joined us on that. Leave you with this text: not too many people on their deathbed regret not having spent more time at the office. That's probably good advice.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.